And we are here back at Fast Wrestling Podcast on FOW Radio. I'm joined, of course, by Ryan Walker and Mike Brummagen. How are you guys doing today? And are you guys ready to talk some wrestling?
We established last show, Mike Blaze.
Oh, goodness me. Are we really going through this? Mike Blaze and Mike Prime, your egos are off the roof. I mean, Ryan, what are you going to call yourself? Because apparently we're all giving ourselves nicknames.
I mean, we all have nicknames now, right? I guess. I don't know. I got to go back to the drawing board and figure out something, you know?
I guess so. So we're expecting a good name from you, Ryan. But let's move on and talk some pro wrestling, why don't we? I mean, that's why we do this, right? And let's talk about what's coming up this weekend. WWE is having two shows in New York, and they're looking fantastic. And let's start with Saturday night when NXT TakeOver Brooklyn happens live in the WWE Network at 8 p.m. And let's go over some of the matches that are going to be featured on the actual two-hour special, and give me your thoughts on this. Now, firstly, I want to talk about the debut of one Apollo Crews, formerly UHA Nation, and he's going to go one-on-one against Ty Dillinger. Guys, your thoughts. What do you think we're going to see from Apollo Crews?
You know, for me, I think Apollo Crews is a boss. I saw him on the indie scene. I've seen some of his matches on YouTube. This guy, he's huge. He's jacked. He's very similar to Bobby Lashley in stature, but he's so athletic. He's way more athletic, but like physically speaking, they look very similar. Like they're built the same. But Apollo Crews, formerly known as UHA Nation, he can do like somersaults. He can do standing shooting star presses. The dude's an athletic freak. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do on a larger scale. The dude's awesome. I remember when I first saw his little vignette, I think he was talking to William Regal. And as soon as I saw that, I got so excited. I was like ready to see him in a match, like against anybody. Like I literally didn't care. Because this guy can bring it. And I just want to see what he can do on a national stage. I mean, he's based right out of here, out of Atlanta. I mean, he trained here in Atlanta, and it's really cool to see somebody from this area make it.
I kind of want to, you know, in ring wise, I think he's going to be awesome. And in a similar vein to like Cesaro or Daniel Bryan, guys like that, I think, you know, he's going to win people over with his in ring performance. The thing that I worry about and the thing that I'm curious about is he going to get over with that name? Like, to me, I still really don't like that name. I'm curious if he came up with that idea or if the WWE creative came up with that idea. But it just seems like a hodgepodge of stereotyped, you know, black athlete names from movies. You got Apollo from Apollo Creed, and you got Crews from Terry Crews. You know, they took the two buffest, baddest black dudes from cinema and merged them into one name and gave it to UHA. And it's like, to me, it's almost like racial profiling. And I just don't, it doesn't settle well with me, and I'm not even black. But some of my friends also have kind of picked up on that and share a similar vibe. You know, like it just seems like a really dumb idea to make that name. And so I'm curious if that's going to get over with fans.
I think he has enough talent to make it get over. I mean, it is a dumb name. Apollo sounds cool. I think when they added Crews, that makes me think a little bit more. But there have been people's terrible names. Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, like that literally sounds like the most plainest, most generic name ever.
Daniel Bryan made it work. The Daniel Bryan name is just like a remix of his real name. His real name.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so stupid, though. You know, because it's like it just sounds really goofy. Or even like Dolph Ziggler, that's way out there. Those guys are so talented; they make it work. And so now when you talk to a wrestling fan and you say, oh, Dolph Ziggler, it doesn't sound stupid. But in 2006, 2007, if you said that, then people would be like, who? Like, who's that? You know, it sounds dumb. But because of his in-ring ability and because of his charisma, nobody minds anymore. And it works. So I think he has enough talent to make it work, but only time can tell.
But name aside, I think that he comes with high expectations from fans of what he can do. I don't know if anybody's had the chance to check out this week's NXT special, that episode, but you know, they had a little promo on Apollo Crews, and they just showed, you know, his ability. He was like training, and he really, yeah, to your point, Ryan, he looked really athletic. He really looked good, and I think that's going to carry over. I think a guy like Ty Dillinger is going to be able to give him somebody to work with who, you know, take good bumps. And I think, hey, if he's well-received at the special, I think, you know, there's a bright future with this guy. I mean, he's got a good size. He can get you from different directions. So it's definitely going to be a good match. Now, let's talk about another really special guy who we're going to be seeing. And this is actually one of the matches that I'm more excited about. And this is Samoa Joe against Baron Corbin. Because I think like Baron Corbin is really going to stand out as one of their biggest heels soon enough in NXT. And I think can be a really big heel if used properly in the main roster. I think getting the Samoa Joe rub is going to really give him a lot. I think the extra push that he needs. Your guys' thoughts on Samoa Joe against Baron Corbin?
I think it should be a good match. I think Baron Corbin is pretty cool. Sometimes, at least in some of the matches I've seen of his, it seems like he kind of lumbers a little bit, like, or sometimes it seems like he can get a little lost in the match, or it just kind of goes with the flow. Like, he has the potential. You could see the potential and the talent is there, but like he's still piecing it together. But Joe is such a great veteran. He's got so much experience, and he's one of the best. You know, so like to me, I feel like the opportunity to work with Joe and work this match is going to be invaluable experience for him. It's really going to help him to figure out that puzzle, kind of put that puzzle together, make him more ready for, you know, bigger, better things, you know, help prepare him for like his future, which ultimately is going to be, you know, I'm not going to say main eventer, but definitely on the main roster. Like, you know, he could potentially be a main eventer, but he's just got to piece those puzzle pieces together.
Right. Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense because, you know, Samoa Joe is a huge name. He's a very, very huge name. But they're not going to make him a main event guy on the main roster. That's just not going to happen. So Samoa Joe is there to serve his purpose in NXT. He's going to do well there. He's going to help make other guys grow. He's going to help put other guys over. And that's what's going to happen Saturday night. I think he's going to put over Baron Corbin in the match and just even helping him grow, like what you said, Mike. And he's definitely going to help him with that experience, help him to feel more natural in the ring, because if you're trying to learn how to wrestle on a big stage, like Samoa Joe is an excellent person to work with, and it's going to be a good match because Samoa Joe always produces good matches. But we're going to see Baron Corbin really grow from this experience. You're going to start to see like a slight evolution just in his ability, just working with a guy like Joe. And that's the purpose. And so I'm looking forward to the match. Not like overly excited for it, but I could see it serving its purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that both guys, I think, are really in a spot where they don't even have the pressure of carrying the show either. Where that, I think they can just have a really good match. So the next match is actually a tag team title match. Blake and Murphy against the Vaudevillains, which I think they're hilarious. And the thing with Alexis, where she's slapping the vault villains all, you know, at every show, and of course they're gentlemen, so they won't hit her back. I think this is gonna bring another girl in somehow to kind of counteract Alexis. But do you think that Blake and Murphy would keep the titles, or are the titles going to the vault villains?
I think the vault villains are going to get it. I really like them. I think their shtick is awesome. I love their insurance. I love the, like, everything. Like they sell it so hard. They even got the handlebar mustaches, but then even like their style, like they've adopted that style of wrestling. And I think it's great. Like, their dedication to and commitment to that gimmick and the characters is awesome. And they do a great job of performing and sticking with their character. And it's gotten over. And I think it's, you know, they're due that recognition. Now, I honestly like them more than Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think now they're probably the most, well, I'll say the second most over tag team, right? Because Enzo and Cassidy are way over. I mean, but absolutely, I think the Vault Villains are going to take the titles, especially because there's a lot of other heel tag teams that have gotten together, and I think it'll give them a good run. I think. And then I don't even think they're going to be done with Blake and Murphy yet. I think this is going to go on for a little bit longer. And it's been entertaining so far. So I think that it's only going to keep getting better. Mm. Now, the next match is one of, I don't know how to say it. It's just huge because it's Justin Thunderliger coming against Tyler Breeze. And a lot has been said about this because of the Ring of Honor New Japan relationship and the fact that New Japan is sending Liger to NXT the same night that Ring of Honor is having a show, also with, you know, New Japan talent. But that aside, I think this is the opportunity that Tyler Breeze has to be consider one of the top guys in NXT.
Yeah, like, how lucky can you get? This is awesome. If I was Tyler Breeze, I wouldn't be able to sleep now until Saturday. This is an awesome opportunity to work with a professional wrestling legend. Yeah, when I first saw this, I'm actually kind of mad because I read spoilers that Jushin Liger is going to be at TakeOver. I kind of wish I saw it live because I definitely would have marked out. He's one of my favorites when I was a kid. And I used to watch him. I watched a lot of matches in WCW, and I watched his stuff on YouTube later on. He's phenomenal. And he's like almost 50, and he can still go as if it was 20 years ago. So this is going to be a great match without a doubt. I think that goes without being said. And it's going to help Tyler Breeze's character out a lot. I saw him in this character. I saw a lot of entertainment value, or more entertainment value, from Tyler Breeze.
You know, in the same vein, yeah, that, you know, like talking about Samoa Joe and saying that, you know, like how Ryan suggested, Samoa Joe is most likely not going to see daylight on the main roster. He's probably, you know, like his purpose, primary purpose, is likely just to be on the NXT roster, help build that up. I think, in my mind, that's how I feel like that's going to go with Liger. Because you think about it, like, he works for NXT because the primary demographic of fans watching NXT are hardcore wrestling fans. So they're going to be familiar with him. They're actually going to like him. But, you know, your main roster fans, they're going to be guys that, you know, men and women who are more into like that WWE style and may not have been exposed or gonna be too young to even have, you know, seen him when he was in WCW. You know, so I don't know that they would really, he would get over as much as he would with
NXT fans.
Yeah.
But still, I think it should be a fun match. I think it should be fun. You know, they both bring something, you know, unique. They're slightly similar, but a lot different styles of wrestling. Like, they both can wrestle at the same kind of pace, but they're different in style. You know, so it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, so I'm really going to look forward to seeing what Liger brings. And with Breeze, it's just going to be... Well, the sky's the limit with the guy after this match, I think. And so that's going to be cool. Now, to the co-main event of the evening, in my opinion, The Boss, the NXT Women's Champion, Sasha Banks, against Bayley. Guys, is this Bayley's turn? Is she going to take the title, and is Banks gone from NXT for good?
Yes, I think so. I think Bayley takes the title. Sasha's already been called up to the roster, and, you know, there's really no reason for her to have the title on the main roster. I think Bayley's a good choice to put the title on. And, you know, I think first thing, you know, Sasha Banks has such a great character. I love the little touches that come with her character, like, when it comes to signing a contract, instead of physically signing it, she stamps it. I think that's really cool. I think there's so many things about her character and her pro wrestling personality is that she doesn't need to be at NXT. She needs to be on the main roster, and she is, and she needs to drop the title so she can focus fully on the main roster and allow Bayley to take the reins. So I think, and just the way the storyline's been leading up, you know, with Bayley's character in NXT over the past like year or so, you know, she's kind of been looked at as like a loser or whatever, and nobody really takes her too seriously. And she's going against the biggest heel in the women's division there. So it, storyline-wise, it makes a lot of sense for her to win at this huge event, to win clean, and hold the title.
How are you, Mike?
I agree. That's what I think. It just, like, everything adds up and makes sense for her to drop the title. It you know, just like Ryan says, it gives Bayley the opportunity to be the top dog, or, you know, I don't want to sound like a misogynist using the dog term. That's just a phrase. Not trying to be sexist at all. That's just a phrase. But, you know, for her to be on top of the division, I think, you know, that would allow her to continue to grow her character. And having, you know, Sasha Perma move up to the main roster and not, you know, like, we've seen appearances from some of them, you know, like, Bayley fought both Becky Lynch and Charlotte en route to getting this match, you know, so, you know, I don't think that they'll stop making appearances, you know, clearly they'll probably have a rematch, you know, because everybody that loses a title gets a chance to try to get that title. Hence, you know, our main event with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do see this as being the stepping stone for Bayley to get her shine. And with, you know, Sasha and Charlotte and Becky all pretty much perma moving up to the main roster, aside from a couple appearances here or there, I think it's going to allow other women to start to showcase their talents more, you know, like Blue Pants and, you know, Emma, who's, you know, like, I like her as a wrestler, but she's still kind of getting the hang of this whole personality thing. And I don't really feel like the bad guy thing really works at Great War personally, but, you know, she's working and trying to do different things. So, I definitely think, you know, it just provides opportunity for other women to try to, you know, grow their characters and get opportunities to shine in the NXT roster.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about our main event, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens in a ladder match for the NXT title.
I think we all, like, a ladder, as soon as they said ladder match, I think we all knew how this match would end. It's going to be a coup de grace from off the top of a 16-foot ladder into Kevin Owens' chest. That's how this match is going to end. Like, it's just written plain as day. Like, it's so easy to see. And I'm not mad that it's, like, if that's exactly how it goes down, I won't be mad, because it's just, it's one of those things that even if it is predictable, it's just, like, is going to be awesome to witness. And I just hope that he doesn't actually make Kevin Owens' chest cave in. But that would be such an amazing feat to see happen, see somebody do a coup de grace from the top of a 15, 16-foot ladder. The crowd would go completely bonkers if that happens. And, like, in my mind, that's exactly what's going to go down, and he's going to climb up to the top, and he's going to grab the belt and, you know, bask in the glory of everybody cheering, thousands and thousands of fans just chanting for him and stuff.
That's
in my head, yeah. how awesome it's going to be.
Yeah, what do you think, Ryan?
It's going to be sick. I really love both of these guys, so, I mean, obviously, Kevin Owens isn't winning this match. You know, I think that's clear. He's going to be on the main roster full time, obviously, and it makes a lot of sense. So this is going to be a great match. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was match of the night, but you know, between this and then Jushin Liger, it's a toss up whether it's going to be match of the night for me. It's going to be an excellent match without a doubt. I think it's really cool to see Kevin Owens kind of go through the ranks of NXT, and you know, he's blown through it, you know, from debuting to, like, you know, his feud with Sami Zayn, which is great, by the way, and then this, you know, and yeah, it's a beautiful storyline. I really like it, and match-wise, it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be honest to see, is Finn going to go demon, or is he going to go without demon?
Oh, he's going
I think
demon.
He'll go demon for this one, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's got to. But yeah, it's gonna be a great show Saturday night. I mean, it's a sellout, 13,000 people at TakeOver, and I don't think they were expecting that. But there is a demand for NXT, and we're gonna get the best of it. And so the next night we're gonna see SummerSlam, a 4-hour show. First we get Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev. In hopefully the first and last match of this feud, because I can live without it. I'm already tired of this feud.
I'm gonna agree and disagree on that. I would be perfectly fine with an ongoing feud between Ziggler and Rusev. It's the continuous like spat going on with Rusev and Lana, and then, you know, Summer Rae is hot Summer. You know, like, that is what I could do without. Like, if you had kept the women out of it, you know, didn't have Lana join up with Ziggler and try to, like, be all kissy with him to make Rusev jealous, and then didn't have him, you know, pick up Summer Rae, who shouldn't, in my opinion, even be on the main roster, then, you know, this wouldn't be so bad. I would thoroughly enjoy just a straight-up feud with Ziggler and Rusev. They're both really great talents, and I think that would be really fun to watch. But because they added that drama, because that's all it is drama, and it's like that bad kind of drama, that's what makes me not want to see it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's kind of fun, actually. I really wish they did.
There's always a match. There's always they one.
They did a mixed tag match. I think that could sell pretty well. Now that's what I thought they were building towards, like a mixed tag team match between Rusev and Summer versus Dolph and Lana. That's what I thought would make sense. And I understand Lana doesn't have wrestling training, but literally all she would have to do, like, they would just have Rusev and Ziggler have most of the match. They'd have Lana do like.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, all right, so the ring. No one's seen Lana wrestle. And Summer Rae sucks. So, why?
It worked in the late 90s. They could just have, like, a little cat fight and, like, roll out of the ring.
But
and then Ziggler and Rusev.
This is why it doesn't work now. Because we're in the midst of the Divas Revolution. So people are wanting and expecting women who could actually wrestle. So if you throw some women into a match, and then it turns out that they super suck, and it's just a bunch of hair pulling and slaps, It's going to be a step backwards for the Divas Revolution.
Well, that's why you keep it quick, and you have Rusev and Ziggler do most of the work. Like,
then you're going to have feminists saying, "Oh, this is misogynistic," you know, you're downgrading the women and giving all the shine to the men. It's a lose-lose. You can't do that match. If they're not ready to wrestle, you can't do that match.
Yeah, well, I think we don't know, you know, what their plans is for this whole thing. But
I understand where you're coming from, but it could work.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
it could work in the 80s.
Next, we'll see a three-team elimination match between Team Bella, Team BAD, and Team PCB. This is going to be a diva fest.
While I enjoy the Divas Revolution, and it's been really fun watching all these women who actually can wrestle, this is yet another pay-per-view where they've used the Divas Revolution and as a guise to, you know, avoid the Divas Championship being on the line. And they're like, oh, well, people are just going to enjoy the fact that we're having these matches with all these chicks that everybody likes. And meanwhile, Nikki Bella gets to skate free without defending her title. Like, this title needs to be on the line. Like, the Divas title should be no different than any other title on the roster. You know, like, titles at pay-per-views, in my opinion, because this is how it's always been, at pay-per-views, titles are defended. So
yeah, and
it bothers me that her title is just going under the radar.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard rumors on the internet that they're doing it on purpose to try to prolong her reign to pass AJ Lee. I don't know whether that's true or not, if they're trying to throw shade or whatever. Regardless, I think it's goofy. I think what they could have done is they could have had Team PCB versus Team BAD or Team BAD go against each other, six-person tag, six-woman tag, whatever, have the match. Winner gets a title shot, like whoever leads their crew.
Well,
like,
here's something.
Get a title shot, or Naomi.
You got a four-hour show, and you're talking about this is a Divas Revolution. Do two women's matches. You do a three-way tag match with six women, two from each of the groups, and then you do a triple threat for the title. So you do like...
That could work as well.
Do Nikki versus Charlotte versus Sasha for the Divas Championship, and then the other members in a three-way tag team match.
Sure, and I think they could do anything with these girls, but we have what we have. And who do you guys think is going to come victorious from this three-team elimination match?
You know, as a fan, I would like to say stick with, you know, PCB, but I think I'll give it to Team Bad on this one.
Really? I hope that happens, actually. They've been losing a lot. I have a weird feeling.
I feel like they do.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing, I think, individually. Maybe not so much Sasha. She's gotten a huge push in NXT, but Naomi and Tamina,
Naomi
deserve a lot.
Naomi is way overdue. Naomi should have been on the Divas belt long time ago.
Yeah. I think Tamina as well. I mean, she's not as good as Naomi, but she's still pretty good. And they both deserve a lot. I think, just mentally going into this, that Team Bella is going to win. And it's going to be lame. I feel like that's going to happen. I don't want it to happen, but that's just logically. That's just what I think is going to happen.
I don't think Team Bella is going to win. Because I think they're purposefully trying to get these other two teams continue to get them over with the fans. So I think it's going to be one of the other two teams, and I think I'm going with Team Bad, even though I like PCB more. That's what I'm thinking. The belt is already on Nikki Bella. So, you know, like, they don't have to win. They got what everybody wants.
Yeah, I definitely think it could be Team Bad, especially because Sasha is going to get a loss most likely the night before. It's a good way for her to get a win back. And she could very well be the lone survivor in this thing. So next we get Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, which is going to be a fantastic match. But will Kevin Owens have anything else to give after the huge match he's going to have the night before? I mean, I feel bad that he has to do two big matches back to back, because Cesaro is not going to take it easy on him.
I don't worry about Kevin. He's got good stamina. He's got pretty good energy. He's got good cardio, you know, which is very phenomenal, especially for, you know, being a guy of a bigger kind of stature. I think he'll be ready to go, and he'll be, just like always, put on a great show. To me, I think this could be the match of the night on the main card. These guys are both phenomenal wrestlers. They both do really good athletic moves. They both have really good technical wrestling skills. You know, like they both have very well-rounded repertoires, and you know, I love the feud that they've been having going on. I've greatly enjoyed the matches that they've both had with Cena. I've greatly enjoyed the matches they've had with Seth Rollins. Like, it doesn't matter like who you add into the mix. Just having these two guys in a ring together has been phenomenal. And it's just been really fun, you know, and seeing them go one-on-one. Like, to me, this could have been a main event match. There's nothing major on the line, so it's not. But, you know, put this in the middle of the card is going to keep people interested. It's going to be amazing.
See, and you know, I would hope that would happen. I think what will happen, because the ladder match is the night before, if Kevin Owens was a babyface, I can see him doing both, doing double duty. But because he's a heel, I don't see him wrestling on Sunday at all. I see him coming out, especially if he loses, he's going to come out and he's going to, like, cut a promo while Cesaro's already in the ring and say that he's not fit to compete. And then he's going to hit him from behind and lay him out and then leave. And it's going to continue. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think it's a real match.
I can't see that happening, because they're making this out to be the WrestleMania of the summer.
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that match. But next, triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. Ryback, Big Show, The Miz. I don't want to spend more than 30 seconds on this match. Who wins? Somebody just pick a winner.
Miz. I'm going Miz.
Ryan?
I want to care about this. I think Ryback. I don't know why Big Show's there. I think he's just there just because Big Show always has to be involved somewhere, you know? So they just stuck him here this year. Ryback wins.
All right. Well, I agree with Mike. Miz is the only one that gets anything out of this. And that's about it. Next, we're going to see the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the tag team titles in a match that I feel like I've seen like 100 times.
Yes.
I mean, if anybody other than the New Day or Lucha Dragons, well, no, I take that back. Anybody other than New Day wins this match, it was a waste.
Yes. I would like to see Lucha Dragons get a shot at the title, but I don't think it's going to happen. And the way that they built the storyline up to this point, you are so right. Like, New Day is so over at this point. Like, if you put it on anyone else, it's just going to be self-defeating. Like, it's going to mess up all the momentum you've built to this moment. So I can't see it going to anybody else, but I just feel like they're neglecting some of the other teams. The Lucha Dragons are a really great team to watch, and they've kind of been under the radar. I like it. I don't necessarily like the gimmick, but the Ascension, those guys are really talented. You know, if you watched them in NXT, they were really good. They got good chemistry. They do good stuff together, and they've just been getting nothing on the main roster. They're like completely lost. Like, and they aren't even, half the time they're not even included in these big multi-team tag matches. You know, it's like, that shows the level of respect that they've gotten at the main roster. Like, it's just, they got dumped on. You know, they're neglecting the tag team division.
I feel like the tag team titles have been losing momentum, and the tag team division, so hopefully they'll do something to change it up. In a match that I think almost no one cares about, except for Sheamus, Randy Orton versus Sheamus is happening. Because, well, you have to have Randy Orton and Sheamus on the show. What do you guys think?
I don't care. at all.
Okay. Mike, do you care?
The only thing that makes me care is if Randy Orton gets some really awesome, spectacular RKO. Yeah. If he gets an amazing RKO, then I'll get hyped for that. But other than that, we've seen Randy Orton versus Sheamus how many times over the course of their careers?
Probably about like a million.
Exactly. Like, this does not excite me at all. Like, I've seen this match, like, give us some kind of stipulation or something that's going to make it quasi-exciting. I've seen this singles match a million times. There's nothing that could happen in this that's going to make me, you know, jump out of my seat and think, oh, wow, this is so new. You know, like, unless you come up with, you know, Sheamus trying to jump off of something stupid and getting RKO'd. It's possible, but that gives us one really good moment out of a match we've already seen a thousand times.
Yeah. Yeah, and the worst part about it is this match is probably going to be like 20 minutes long, too. Like, it's going to be like one.
Hopefully not.
I hope not. I hope it's like 12 minutes.
I hope that it happens for 5 minutes. I hope that the ring bells, RKO, it's over. I mean, to me, that would be the perfect scenario. Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper versus Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the Battle of the Families. So, what do you guys think?
I'm
going with
the
Wyatt, Tommy.
Okay. Well, I think the main story of this match is a lot of people have been thinking and thinking about, well, who's going to turn on who. You know, a lot of people think Roman Reigns is going to turn heel. A lot of people think Dean Ambrose is going to turn heel. I think that it's going to be the anticipation of one of those happening is more exciting than the actual match, which says a lot because I'm actually looking forward to this match quite a bit. I enjoyed this feud.
I don't know that either of these guys are going to turn, at least not here. Honestly, the thing that I've been kind of expecting is for a third guy to join the Wyatt family.
Like,
there's been rumors, you know, of different people, but you know, and one name that gets thrown out a lot, which I don't like, is, you know, people always point to Bo Dallas. Like, oh, well, he's Bray's real brother and stuff. And it's like, no, I like his gimmick. I don't want to see him throw that away just to join his brother. But you know, with Rowan out of the picture with an injury, you know, like, I feel like there's a great opportunity to give somebody else who doesn't have something going on something to do.
Adam Rose.
Yes, I would love to see that. And, you know, people teased it, and then he tried to, I think, you know, he tried to squash it, make it seem like, you know, oh, this isn't ever happening, Leo Kruger's dead. You know, but I feel like, you know, that easily could have just been him saying stuff to just try to get people, deter people from being on the right track. You know, and he hasn't really made a lot of appearances since then other than, you know, like, the shows that nobody watches. You know, so, you know, I think it'd be a great reinvention of Leo Kruger on the main roster. You know, have him be a Wyatt.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose will pull it off. Maybe by DQ, somebody else could come in. They'll definitely extend it. I think they're going to give this a few months, give these guys something to do.
Someone, I forgot what article I was reading, but somebody pointed this out, and like, it's really just great to think about this. You know, like, back in the day, old school wrestling, you know, like, storylines and feuds could go on for years, you know, and,
yeah,
and they might take time off from it and then come back to it. And that hasn't really happened much, you know, in the past decade plus. But someone, I was reading somewhere and they were pointing out the fact that, you know, this ongoing feud with Wyatt and the Shield guys, like, this has been going on back and forth for 2 years. You know, this is the longest ongoing storyline that WWE has on its entire program, which kind of makes this a really significant match, really in its own special way. So I think that's really dope. And yeah, that's just really cool to me that, you know, like, we get to see these two guys, you know, Bray and my favorite, Dean, with their lackeys, Roman and Luke, because Roman, to me, is not better than Dean. Continue to go at each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bray deserves a win because he often loses at pay-per-views, more often than not. But I also feel like having him get the victory, whether by cheating or whether by, interference or what have you. I feel like having him get the win helps continue building this anyone but you, Roman, story that he's got going on, the beef that he's got going. Because if they just end it here, then it's yet another storyline that they put him in that went nowhere. So I feel like it needs a better resolution than this match.
Hopefully, at least they'll keep it entertaining and fresh. Next, we get the Green Arrow and the Red Arrow versus Stardust and King Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Yeah.
Two questions. Okay. Do you expect Amel to do a lot in this match as far as, wrestling? Do you think that Stephen Amell is a big enough star to warrant a match like this?
No. Yes and no.
Yes to the first thing, no to the second. I think we're unanimous on that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Patrick, who watches everything, have any of the rest of us watched Green Arrow?
No,
that's the answer to the question. Exactly. It's a show that's completely under the radar, unless you're like a TV nerd that watches everything, or a super, super duper duper comic book nerd that watches every comic book related thing.
Like Cody Rhodes, Stardust. So, and that's why I think this match is going to be so good, because in real life he's such a comic book nerd that he's probably put so much input into the storyline, into this match, that it's going to be cool. And so that's why I'm looking forward to it, because I know that he's actually passionate about this, and I really enjoy the Stardust character a lot.
And
I enjoy what he's doing with it.
Did you hear that interview he did? He did an interview talking about this match after his dad died. The reason why he pursued this match is because the idea had got floated around like a while back before his dad died. And his dad liked the idea enough, but didn't tell Cody about it. But his dad made the screensaver picture on his phone a picture of Stardust and Green Arrow. And Cody was put in charge. Cody had said that he was put in charge of having to sort through his dad's phone. And so he was given the phone, and he put in the unlock code. And he gets to the main screen and he sees a picture of himself facing off with Green Arrow. And he took it as a sign that even though his dad was gone, that his dad wanted to see him make that happen. And so that's one of the driving factors for him to pursue this match. And I read that and I was just like, tear. It's just like one of those kind of things that kind of moves you. It's like, wow. Even from beyond the grave, his dad is like pulling strings.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's going to be such a special match. It's going to be good. Like, it's not going to be some stupid 3-minute.
This is the one oddity to me, is the inclusion of Barrett. Like, he doesn't really fit with the storyline here.
He hasn't fit with anything in a while. And it's frustrating because he's so good.
He's good, and he's the king of the ring. And he's just kind of getting. Kind of like the Ascension, he just gets lost in the shuffle, and they don't know what to do with him. So it just gets lumped into other things.
Yeah, so I think, other than the fact that King Barrett is being pushed down the card, so to speak, other than that, I'm looking forward to this match, because it's not just going to be some flash-in-the-pan celebrity stupid match that we've seen before.
Steven is legit athletic.
Yeah,
He's been doing training on his own to get ready for this match. He even picked up two black eyes preparing for this match.
Yeah,
so he's definitely dedicated to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely going to be entertaining to see, and of course, I am a big Arrow fan, so I'm stoked about Amel being in there. But. Let's now talk about champion versus champion here in the co-main event. John Cena against Seth Rollins. I think it's been one of the better build-ups for a title match in a while. Who do you think is going to come out victorious? I mean...
Well, to me, I want Seth to win. That's who I want to win. And I think it could make a lot of sense for him to win. But I think the most probable, the outcome that seems the most probable would probably be a no decision. You know, some form of no decision where they both stay on their respective belts. But I would love to see Seth win. And, like, him being on the, like, the way his character is structured, like, he's not going to, like, be defending both belts all the time, like Cena would, because that's the kind of heel he is. But to me, that would add extra heat to him. And you could easily have him drop the belt, the U.S. belt. Like, he could even drop it the very next night. You know, he could decide to try to take up Cena's U.S. challenge thing and do that on his own and then lose it that way. Or he could be forced into doing the challenge. Steph and Triple H could be like, hey, this has been really big. It's best for business. We need you to do this challenge. And he does it, and he loses the belt to, like, Cesaro or somebody. And then you get Cesaro and Kevin Owens fighting over the U.S. belt. You know, so, like, I think if you put the belt on Seth, it would give him a moment of glory where he could, like, you know, totally bask in this and rub it in everybody's face, which is what he would totally do. And I think that'd be great for his character, and it adds extra heat to him. And then you could do funny stuff where, like, you know, he did the thing on Raw where he's talking about trying to get his own statue made, you know, to be put amongst the greats. And so you bring him in, and they pull the sheet off the statue, and he's all gloating about it and talking about it. And then music hits, someone comes out, and they, you know, somewhere in the fray or the fracas, you know, like a fracas breaks out, and somewhere along the way, the statue gets knocked over and completely busted. And that segues into, you know, boom, now you have a new feud for Seth Rollins. So, like, I think there's a ton of things you could do if you put on Seth Rollins. If you put on Cena, the only thing he gains from it is being able to say he's on level with Ric Flair, 16-time champ. There's nothing, storyline-wise, there's nothing to gain for Cena in having both belts.
And what are the chances that Sheamus comes in and takes the world title?
None. I don't see it happening on Sunday. Especially if Seth wins, it's not going to happen. If Cena wins, I guess, but I don't even think Cena's going to win. I think Seth Rollins wins.
What's the chances that we see Kane show back up and help his authority?
I think Kane's done with his authority. I hope he's done with authority, at least. I hope he is, but... Yeah, I think now I'll save what I think about Kane for the next match, but I think he's done with the authority. I see Seth Rollins winning. He's going to cheat somehow, obviously.
What about Bishop so associated with the authority?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see any of those guys.
Is he a face or a heel or what? Like, he changed.
I don't know. It's like week to week it's different. Like, one week he's coming out and, like, doing bad guys, and the next week he's, like, talking like he's, you know, happy-go-lucky. Like,
or crying.
Yeah, it's like he's in this middle ground. It's like kind of awkward to figure out.
Now, think about this scenario then. What if Triple H comes in to help Seth, and then out comes The Rock to help Cena, which then sets up the Triple H-Rock match for WrestleMania?
No. Because it doesn't make sense. Given the vitriol and the heated rivalry between Cena and The Rock, it doesn't make sense for The Rock to want to help Cena win this battle.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
The Rock did square off with Triple H like not too long ago. I mean,
yeah, but that's a beef between, like, just because Triple H was show up doesn't make sense for him to be helping John Cena. Like,
well, there are two things about storylines in WWE. The past does not matter to Vince McMahon. No matter what has happened in the past, he's going to go with whatever will serve his purpose of his future storylines.
And there's talk of Rock versus Triple H at WrestleMania. So this could be a way to get that lead in. But I don't know. Just throwing it out there. But I don't know. I don't want to see somebody have both titles. I like to see them separately. So, but
I think it'd be fun to see it. Well, to me, there's more entertainment value if Seth gets them both, and it doesn't hurt anybody if he drops one of them even the next night. Like, if he drops the U.S. title the next night, it doesn't devalue him, and it wouldn't devalue U.S. title as long as you put it on somebody that's actually good, you know?
Yeah. Well, that brings us to our main event. The match that's too big for WrestleMania, and The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. How do you guys see this match coming up?
Well, with this match, I think they made a huge mistake in having Undertaker face Bray Wyatt this year at WrestleMania. I think if, you know, they should have not had that match happen at all. They should have had, and I think, and this is like unrelated, I've said this on multiple podcasts before, but Bray should have been the one who ended the streak at WrestleMania 30, but that's another topic for another day. I think after WrestleMania 30, Undertaker loses, fine, it happens. And I think he shouldn't show up on TV at all. Like, the next time he showed up, it would have been awesome. Like, could you imagine if you went like a year and a half without being on TV between WrestleMania 30 and Battleground? Like, they made no mention of him, didn't show up at WrestleMania 31 at all. That would make more sense because he's coming back for revenge instead of coming back facing Bray Wyatt. And it was a match that, like, you would think, you know, with fantasy booking, that would be an awesome match, Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, but it wasn't. And the build-up wasn't that great, and the payoff wasn't great. And this gave Bray something to do for a month.
To me, I enjoyed Bray's side of the build-up because Bray is a phenomenal promo artist. I thought he did a great job trying to carry it, but having only one person carry the build-up for a match just does not work.
Yeah, and if with the build-up, it would have made more sense if Bray won, so he could be the new face of fear, and he can have something to hold on to, but that didn't happen, and so it was like Undertaker showed up, beat Bray, like everything's normal and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden, he wants revenge now? So, yeah, that part doesn't make sense, but looking past that, it's interesting to see how Undertaker's been acting. He's been acting like a heel. He's been kicking Brock in the nuts for a while, like, Logan's like every time he shows up.
Because
you got pissed.
Brock is over with Brock and I think they understand that Brock and Heyman have the crowd in their corner.
Yeah.
At this point in time with the stuff that the work they've been putting in over the past year, they are favorites. The fans love to see him, and they love to watch Brock destroy people. They love to see him put the Suplex City into action and just like tearing the people and grab them by the waist and sling them around like ragdolls. Like, people love it. And so they've gotten super over. And Paul Heyman is by far everyone's favorite talker.
Yeah.
So they're super over, and there's no way, even though it's Taker, and Taker is like super mythical legend, there's no way to make him compete with the overness of Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman right now.
No, he got booed on Monday, and he gets booed on Sunday as well. And the thing is, like, on a side note, so when other heels talk, the audience, like, they chime in, they say what, they chant different things. When Paul Heyman talks, everyone's silent. They listen. I don't know if you guys caught that, but because he's so good.
You want to hear what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the same way with Punk most of the time. Most of the time when Punk would talk, you know, he's such a good talker, and he usually makes such valid points. People had to listen.
Yeah.
Well, who do you guys think is going to win, Brock or The Undertaker?
Brock. Brock by destruction.
Brock. I mean, honestly, does Taker gain anything by winning this? Not really.
No, his streak is still broken.
He gains his pride, but it doesn't add anything to the story. If he wins, then it just becomes a tie. They're 1-1, and then you need to break the tie, which would be stupid.
Yeah, so
take the second loss. It helps continue to build up the mythic legend that is Brock Lesnar, the beast incarnate. And, you know, then t- Taker can finally have his farewell match at WrestleMania. We can see him come around as a part-timer.
So that is SummerSlam, and I don't know. They're making it seem like it's this huge show, WrestleMania-esque. What did you think?
Yeah, and so depending on how it ends, I think we're going to have a return happen in this Brock Undertaker match. I don't think it's going to end clean. I think we're going to see either Sting or Kane return. One of the two is going to return, and it's going to set up something.
Yo, if it's Kane, he better have that mask on.
Yes, Kane's going to return with the mask, or it's going to be Sting. And either one of them is going to confront the Undertaker to set up for something in the future. That's my prediction. That's what I think. Just how Brock took out Kane. Yeah, he took him out, right? Didn't he, like, storyline break his ankle or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he took him out, and then obviously the fantasy booking going on with, you know, what if Sting faces Undertaker? Like, Undertaker's clearly at the last leg of his career, and it's going to be one of those two who faces him. So I feel like that happens on Sunday. That's my prediction.
What do you guys think about Jon Stewart being the guest host?
I think it's cool.
Do you think he's actually going to get much screen time, or is it just a kind of throwaway thing like, hey, we know you're super popular, you're from New Jersey, and you did your show for 16 years in New York, and our show is going to be in New York, so, you know, you could sign on, it's going to be awesome, and bring in extra eyes, but we're not really going to have you do much.
Yep, that's what I think is going to happen.
Whether they use him a lot or a little, I really don't have an opinion other than it's cool that they're having him, but I don't have any high hopes for him to do anything important with him. So that's the show now, preview on SummerSlam. Before we do go, I want to get your thoughts on Tough Enough and what was the result? What happened with the three guys, Mike?
So they get to the vote. And they're like, all right, before we go to the vote, you know, before we go to the results, you know, Daniel, you have your one challenge left. Do you want to save, not challenge, you have your one save left. Do you want to save somebody? And he thought about it really long and hard. And you could see him really kind of fighting with it. And then he decided, he just looks up and he's like, you know, I'm going to leave it to the people. I'm going to trust the WWE Universe. And then he kind of just sighed, like, did I just make a mistake? And they go to commercial, they come back, and they're like, all right, the voting is closed. Here's the results. And most votes was Josh. Second most votes was ZZ. Tanner's eliminated.
And you know what's crazy is had Daniel used his, you know, veto or his save on Tanner, WWE would have gotten what they wanted, and that's ZZ out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and even though, like, so in Tough Talk, he admitted to that. He said that, you know, if I had used my save, I would have used it to save Tanner because he reminds me a lot of myself. He has the same relentless work ethic. He's disciplined. He doesn't necessarily have the personality, but neither do I. So I see myself in him. But I chose to let the WWE people, the universe, I chose to let the people decide because my run to the championship would not have happened if it weren't for the WWE universe. The people made me. And that reasoning, like, broke me. It's like, you know, you can't argue that logic.
Yeah.
Like, who better than Daniel Bryan to understand and to realize the power of the people and how important that is?
So I'm glad he didn't use it. I'm glad Tanner's out. And I'm picking Sarah Lee and CZ to win. How about you guys?
I'm going to go Amanda and ZZ.
Yeah, I think ZZ definitely for the guys. I'm kind of torn with the girls. Not too sure. I'm going to guess they're probably going to choose whoever they think is the prettiest. That's probably what's going to happen, just being realistic. ZZ, he's creative and he's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying their hardest to build up Josh and make Josh favorable so that he'll get the votes. I mean, you look at the questions that they asked during Tough Talk. You look at the questions that they presented, like, even on the TV show before it went off. You know, they take turns talking to all the people. They gave all the contestants these really great, sappy questions, like, hey, you know, what's going on with your family? And, you know, tell us about your backstory, stuff like that. But when it came to ZZ, they just grilled him, like, dug into him, talking about his fitness and how he's not really disciplined. He's wasting his time. He's not. He hasn't proven that he really wants it. You know, he's not putting in the work ethic. You know, like, they just went after him. Whereas with Josh, it's like, hey, you know, who's the most important person to you? And then he gets a gush about his daughter, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so they're trying to paint everyone else to be great people, and then they're painting out ZZ to be this lazy, terrible, undisciplined liar. Like, they accused him so much of lying, it was ridiculous. And they continued with that line of dialogue in Tough Talk, even though in Tough Talk, they admit, both Daniel Bryan and Paige admitted that ZZ would be perfect for the WWE because he has the charisma. Not only does he have the charisma, but seeing what his thought process going into creating the finish, they both admit he has the perfect mind for the business. So he's got the charisma and he's got the mind for it. He just doesn't have the work ethic. And in Tough Talk, they both admitted that, you know, it's not so much that they dislike him and it's not that they hate him. They're disappointed. All right, so this is the thing. So, like, you know, we've heard the different contestants talk about ZZ and what they've seen of him. And, you know, to an extent, we can kind of try to, you know, put that aside because, you know, they may be skewed in how they portray ZZ since it's a competition. But Daniel Bryan spoke up and he was like, you know, for the past few days, I've been down here at the training center and I've got to come in and actually see what you guys do. And I personally came in and watched y'all in the gym and he detailed what he saw ZZ doing. And he's like, you know, you're not working hard. Like he, like, gave his perspective and I trust Daniel. I don't think he'd be lying just to try to make ZZ out to be a bad person.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think ZZ's going to win because of that. I think because in past seasons of Tough Enough, the person, when they come towards the end, the person who gets grilled the most usually wins. Like back in, I think, 2003, I think his name was Matt Capitelli. I believe he had cancer at one point. He retired. But he won, and he was the guy Hardcore Holly beat up. It was a pretty big deal at the time. Hardcore Holly beat him up, and he ended up winning. You know, so Hardcore Holly gave him a lot. And then even the last Tough Enough was Andy, a Silent Rage. Stone Cold grilled this guy so hard, he, like, made fun of him. And Luke, who's the runner-up, you know, people are like, yeah, Luke, you know, he's good-looking and, you know, he has charisma, blah, blah, blah. And then with Silent Rage, they're like, oh, well, you know, why is he Silent Rage? And Stone Cold's making fun of him and stuff. But he ended up winning. And granted, you know, with Matt Capitelli in 2003, you know, he ended up retiring. He doesn't wrestle anymore. And Silent Rage got released, like, before he made his TV debut. So, you know, there's a trend with winners of Tough Enough. But, you know, as far as, like, not being on TV, but there's also the trend of they're the ones who get grilled the most. And so here, with ZZ getting grilled the most, they're setting him up. That's just how it is. He's just getting set up.
But this is the thing, I feel like, all right, whether he wins or loses, at this point, from what we've got to see with ZZ, like, I would be disappointed if they don't sign him. Like, between him having the charisma and then getting to see his thought process, like, how he thinks through, even the gimmicks that didn't work, like, when they did the challenge where they had to come up with, like, an outfit and then walk out and do an entrance. Mm-hmm. That didn't really go over because his outfit looked retarded. Like, it was saying, I shouldn't use that, you know, that PC. We should be a little more PC. But it just didn't, it looked stupid.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. You know, but when they got to talk to him on Tough Talk and he got to explain why he put those pieces together, you see the thought process. And to me, the thought process, like, the way he thinks about things and the way he puts things together in his mind, like, is so great. Especially for this business. And then you see it when he's thinking about his finish, you know, coming up with a gator grip for a for a submission move finish, you know, like, it's like, how do you not try to mold this guy and make him into greatness? He has the potential there. He has more potential than anybody else on the show.
Yeah.
And discipline, the one thing that everybody rags on him about is discipline of fitness, but those things can be taught and learned.
You can teach that. Yeah, I was just going to say, you can teach that.
You give him, you sign him to a contract, whether he wins or loses, sign him to a contract, get him moved in, get him moved down to Florida, move him in with a couple guys that are already on the NXT roster who have proven work ethic, pair him up with them, let him live with them, learn from them, walk with them to learn, because it's habit. You know, it takes weeks to build habit. You know, it takes like 4 to 6 weeks to build positive habits. You know, to break old habits, it takes a long time. You got to pair him up with people who are willing to walk with him and help him and teach him, do what they do, and put him with a personal trainer to help him get fit, get his cardio good, and give him a nutritionist to help him eating better. Those are all things that are, for the WWE, easily affordable. It's a great investment. And, in just a few months, you could have him in better shape to actually start learning wrestling moves.
Next week, WWE Universe, all fans will be able to vote and choose a winner. We're going to see them having matches. The girls against Alicia Fox, the guys against Cesaro. It's going to be interesting what happens. They're going to try to go all out, being that it's the last episode, the finale. So that's all the time we have for today, though, guys. Thanks for joining me, talking SummerSlam, TakeOver, and Tough Enough. And everyone listening, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Mike's on Twitter at M Brummagen. Ryan at The Reality Check. I'm at Yellow Maniac. Make sure you subscribe. We're on the Google Store. We are on iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.